If you've been paying attention to the bill tracker on federalnewsradio.com, you know there is a lot of legislation that affects your pay and benefits. Congress is talking about a lot of different things. The administration talking about a lot of different things that will affect your pay and benefits. And the managers at your agency are also talking about things that can affect you. And there's a lot going on in your mind. There's a lot going on in your agency. And one of the best people to help you sort all that out and keep track of it all and make sense of it all is Paul Rousen from World at Work, and he's back with me in studio after a little bit of a hiatus, Paul.
Yep.
And you're back in the saddle, and it is great to see you. I'm very pleased that you're here because this is a pretty, maybe tumultuous is overselling it a little bit, but this is, there are a lot of balls in the air for federal employees, especially for managers, because a lot of these things that are impacting employees are not just impacting the managers as managers and how they have to manage through these, but as employees too, the same things that are happening to their folks and that they're having to work through with their folks are things that they're dealing with themselves. As you've had time to kind of sit back and reflect on all of the things that you're seeing in the HR world in government, what are some of the thoughts that you have about some of the things that are happening to federal employees and some of the things that are happening for federal employees?
Well, the things that are most troubling right now is that the employee value proposition is being shaken up in the federal government as much as it has been and we've seen in the private sector. You know, World at Work is an association of 25, 30,000 human resources practitioners that focus on compensation, benefits, work-life programs, all the things that go into the mix to help an employee decide whether or not going to work every day is worth their talent and their efforts. When you start jumbling up pay and then start to look at rethinking how health care is being paid for, how work-life programs are impacting your ability to get your work done, all of those things can kind of take your eye off the ball and make you not question your commitment to the job, but, you know, first things come first.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I took a five-week break from work, I kind of resorted things and had a chance to do that. Not everybody gets that opportunity. And so I was thinking, what's it like to be in the federal government right now? And navigating that as a manager, navigating that as an employee, and then also my HR colleagues in the federal government, how are they really set up and equipped to provide the real leadership that's needed programmatically to sustain high levels of engagement in the workforce.
Mm-hmm. What are you seeing and hearing about the particular challenges that these issues are presenting? If I were going to assume, I would assume that a pay freeze is making people wonder what the future really holds for them. We keep hearing about a potential retirement wave that may be exacerbated by this pay freeze and also by the high three to high five change, mm-hmm. if that ever happens. And then that becomes an issue too. A lot of these things are if that ever happens, and we don't know if some of these things will ever happen. And there are a couple of things that we know for sure are going to happen, going to break a certain way. But so much of this that people are having to think about and is really more like they're having to wonder about because we just don't know.
Right. Well, and the fear of the unknown is always what you worry about the most. When people are not sure, for example, maybe not so much if their pay is going to be frozen, but what if pay is frozen, but at the same time things aren't frozen, like the rising cost of gas prices, food putting on the shelf, college educations, a whole host of things that make you kind of wonder while you're trying to work, am I going to get by?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the challenges right now are with rising healthcare costs, concerns about their savings plans and how solid is my retirement and all the things that the federal government's looking at to try to provide services and deliver services that are cost effective to taxpayers without compromising missions. This is real complicated business.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, we always have to remember in the end, these are committed individuals that signed up to help our country tackle some of the greatest challenges. So it's going to be a very interesting time. Once again, managers and HR are really called to be at their very best. And I see this as really particularly challenging for human capital leadership and line management leadership over the next few years.
You sent over some notes about some observations that you made during your time away, and I'd like to just kind of go mm-hmm. through them and talk about some of the things that I pulled out in particular that struck me. Talk about your observation of the interaction between GAO, OMB, OPM, the Chief Human Capital Officers Council, how you see that interaction going.
Well, I think right now these three groups are having to kind of work together and closely, not that they haven't in the past, but now they're really being looked to work more closely together with real leadership in ways that they haven't done before. Francis, I've seen the same situation in the private sector as well, where really, if you take a look at it, you know, you've got your human capital group, your chief human capital officers, and those who are responsible for that function in an organization, having to cost justify programs, take a look at their own workforce. Are they equipped and competent to handle the task at hand? You've got the General Accountability Office, which really acts very similar to internal audit in a company and says, do we have a weakness here? Are we at risk for not being able to deliver the services that promised in a cost-effective and risk-free way? And then you have OMB, who's like the Chief Financial Officers Group. They've got to fund all this. They're trying right now to make sure that they're getting this right, this formula right. And they're doing it in an environment in which there are very strong headwinds.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when everybody finds out that they really are in the same boat, they kind of roll up their sleeves and tend to work together. And I'm starting to see some real signs of these groups doing this in a very deliberate and meaningful way.
Mm-hmm. Are there parallels that, since there are parallels to the structure there as you laid mm-hmm. it out, are there parallels to what you've seen in private sector companies that could apply to some of these same challenges that agencies are starting with now? Or is there a line there where the business to public sector parallels kind of end and in the government things would be a little bit different by nature for some reason?
Well, there's certain things, as we all know, work being done that's inherently government work. And there you're not going to see parallels, and I'd be blowing sunshine the wrong direction if I told you that it's exactly the same as the private sector, because it isn't. But there are places where there are things that overlap, and there are some lessons that can be learned from a standpoint of how did the groups function together and work together. So where you see, for example, the General Accountability Office saying, you know, we've got a challenge here with, is the pay model working correctly to incent the right people to come and join the organization? Are we rewarding people, not over-rewarding, but not under-rewarding them? HR, you've got to get this right. Chief Human Capital Officers, you have to get this right. Finance, you know, our greatest expense is people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we've got acquisition issues, but talent acquisition is acquisition number one.
Mm-hmm.
And any internal audit person would tell you the most critical thing you do in an organization is hire the right people
mm-hmm.
and put the right people in the right place and reward them appropriately to drive the mission. So those are the fundamental things that are similar, and then you start to get into some really, really esoteric things that doesn't exist in the private sector.
There are some nuts and bolts things about hiring and hiring reform that we'll talk about, but there are, as I mentioned in these notes that you sent, some very, I think, insightful, broad-based themes, and we'll cover those throughout the hour. Paul Rowson of World at Work is my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You care about what he's thinking and talking about, not just if you're a hiring manager, but if you manage anybody, because you need to keep your good talent. So Paul and I will continue this conversation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in just a moment.
The Virtualization Expert is brought to you by VMware and Carahsoft.
This is Aileen Black, Vice President of VMware Federal. In a recent study, federal IT leaders said telework and delivering desktop computing resources are the top reasons for using cloud computing. There is no question, telework is a priority, and VMware customers know how easy it can be with virtualization. With VMware, agency standard PCs can be quickly provisioned, deployed, and managed from the data center. Personnel can securely access familiar resources through government-furnished equipment or their own PCs. Our customers have saved up to 45% on desktop cost, increased their employee satisfaction, and improved continuity of operations. If your agency wants to deliver desktop computing as a service, you'll want to see how easily you can do it with VMware.
VMware desktop virtualization solutions are helping federal agencies deliver user-centric devices, not device-centric users. Learn more on www.thevirtualizationexpert.com. HalfPriceDC.com is your gateway to the best daily deals in the area, all at half price. Don't miss out on a great deal to Westfields Golf Club, a Fred Couples design course in Clifton, Virginia. Get a round of golf, golf cart, and range balls, normally $100, yours for only $50 at Half Price DC. Westfields Golf Club, public golf kept private. It only feels like a private club. Want in on this deal? Go to HalfPriceDC.com and click Sign Me Up. HalfPriceDC.com. Attention employees of the intelligence community and Department of Defense. Right now, you could be eligible for affordable term life insurance from GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, with coverage issued by Prudential. Learn more about this important benefit for government employees at GEBA.com or call 1-800-826-1126. Group term life coverage for GEBA is issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, 751 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102, contract series 83500.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit MyVillageGreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Megafood and Gero Formula.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
I'm Amy Morris. Here's a look at Tuesday morning's Federal Drive. We'll get more details about the administration's efforts to make government more accountable. What is different about this latest proposal that promises to help your agency cut waste and improve performance? That and more Tuesday morning, starting at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. For all the latest federal news, check us out on federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Paul Rousen of World at Work in studio with me for the hour. And I mentioned before the break, we've talked about the hiring process and reforms on and off throughout the time that you've been coming to the show, Paul. And since you were here the last time, agencies have started to report that they're making a lot of progress, in some cases already meeting and beating Director Barry's goal of 80 days to bring somebody in or not. And I mentioned to you, I've had a chance to talk in the last couple of weeks with some chief human capital officers. And one of the things I always like to ask them is, what are you doing in addition to shortening the hiring time? What are you doing qualitatively to make sure that you're getting good people faster? Because if you're hiring faster, but you're getting people that aren't right, then you're really farther behind than when you started. What are your thoughts about what agencies are doing and maybe should be doing or aren't able to do for whatever reason about making sure the people that come in are good and not just get in there fast?
Well, Francis, I don't know enough about what each agency is doing specifically and what success they've had. I can tell you, though, that I think you're onto something. When you take a look at just raw talent acquisition metrics, you see always the focus on shortening the hiring time frame, but rushing to get the wrong employee in the door can be even more disastrous than taking a little bit of extra time. And every once in a while, for some positions, you want to set the bar slightly higher and make sure that it's not so much time to fill as it is quality to fill. And sometimes you don't find out how good of a job you've done until maybe a year down the road when you take a look at the first performance review or the impact that person's had.
Mm-hmm.
The other challenge that I would throw out there that I've seen organizations miss the mark on a bit is while you're busy trying to import talent from the outside or hire a new person, you may run right over the top of some existing talent and not be aware of where you could optimize the existing talent that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And in times when you can't offer more pay, offering people career ladders and career options and career development is one very, very meaningful way in which you can keep the workforce engaged. There's no substitute for pay if you need extra money. But when you think that you're growing and you may be in a position where your employees are now using the full value of their skills and preparing themselves for succession plan and succession advancement once opportunities do arise, that's a very, very important reward. And if you are solely looking at external recruiting, you may miss some opportunities mm-hmm. with taking care of your own existing workforce and your talent.
I think it's interesting as I talk to these chief human capital officers and they bring up on their own that concept of career planning and succession planning for their people, that seems to be one concept that at least the folks I've talked to so far are really getting as a great tool to have in the toolbox.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, what every human resource organization faces is to understand where your supply chain of talent is. That's something you just don't have up in your head. That takes systems. It takes employee self-service reporting in, here's what I've learned, and managers don't always know where all the talent is. Sometimes you only find out about what talent you've got when somebody leaves the organization and goes someplace else and you find out they took a new job and are using a skill you never really took advantage of while they were there. So
mm-hmm.
HR, chief human capital officers also know that they're woefully short of the resources that they need in terms of IT. And once again, that's one of those expenses that's an investment, and right now with money dear, you may not be able to make that investment, so it's a catch-22.
Yeah. As we stick with some of the nuts and bolts things that have transpired since you were here the last time, another one is, in addition to the hiring process and so on, the hiring time, is the whole conversation about the actual work that's being done, the amount of work. And I've said a number of times, if somebody says more with less one more time, I think I'm going to go bananas. How important, what kind of a message would it send to the workforce for agency leadership or even Congress to say, we understand the situation and we're going to try to define what it is we don't expect anymore? And a concept that I'm calling right-sizing the work and not just the workforce.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing what people can get accomplished when they love doing what they're doing. So once again, I think the first order of business is who is in a role where they're underperforming and address a performance issue. Next is put the right people in the right roles doing the work that they're best suited to do. Those are your two primary missions, and that's what you want to make sure that you're accomplishing. It's not so much doing less with more with less. It's doing more of what you're good at
mm-hmm.
and less of what you are not good at, because people struggle through those things. So it's really talent alignment right now, and then making some very, very hard choices. Sometimes, you know, once again, this is not systemic to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
The private sector has the same thing, too. They have people, really, that are, you ask them what their role is, and they say that they're doing things that really someone from high above would say, why are we doing that? I didn't even know we were doing that. That doesn't make sense. Aren't we doing that over here in the organization? So looking at duplicate, non-value-added work is important. And then what we really owe the workforce is being in the right job at the right time with the best use of their skills, and then stopping work that doesn't add value.
I had a fellow named Marcus Buckingham on the show not too long ago. He is a management and leadership author and speaker, and he talked about that very idea that we spend so much time and energy focusing on the things we're not good at and trying to make ourselves mediocre mm-hmm. at something that we're probably definitely not good at and probably not inclined to want to be good at, and don't devote that time and energy to being even better at what we're already good at, really improving skills. And I stopped and I thought about it from an athletic perspective. And I thought about the concept that somebody would go to Cal Ripken and say, you know what would really help you out? If you would learn how to become a better three-point shooter, then you'd really be a well-rounded athlete. There's no reason in the world for him to do that. He needs to spend more time in the batting cage. And that sounds like that's what you're getting at, is the same idea that Marcus introduced.
There have been studies over and over again. The good folks at Gallup, for example, I'll give them a plug. I mean, the bottom line is that if you take a speed reader and give them a speed reading course, they actually get high multiples of return being a better speed reader. But if you've got somebody that just inherently can't read fast, you'll get a marginal return. You know, the old question is, can you make a pig sing? Yeah, sure you can. But in the process, you really end up not getting a very good singer, and you only end up aggravating the pig.
And waste a lot of your own time, too. Paul Rowson's in studio with me today of World at Work. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. Some ideas about how to get more out of your staff and get them more engaged in doing what you're doing when the In-Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Vacation time is just around the corner. Ready to go? Since 1967, Ackerman Security has been keeping families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, you can trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center. Ackerman offers the latest technology like cell phone control, wireless monitoring, and remote video to your web-enabled phone, iPad, or laptop. Federal government employees get an added bonus. 4 months of monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
The Government IT Solutions Spotlight is brought to you by CDWG.
The Patent and Trademark Office hit a major milestone. The agency reduced its backlog of patent applications to under 700,000. PTO's goal was to hit that mark last September, but needed an extra 8 months. Still, Commerce Secretary Gary Locke says he's proud of PTO's accomplishment, since it was a stretch goal. PTO recently completed the evaluation of three prototypes for a new patent system. The agency plans to have a new system in place by 2013.
If you're in federal IT, CDWG has the people and products to seamlessly integrate all your communications into a single, unified, accessible communications network. So if your employees are scattered hither and yon, visit cdwg.com/unified. We'll make it seem like they're all hither, not yon. CDWG. People who get it.
Visit CDWG.com to learn how Juniper EX Series Ethernet switches can help reduce expenses by boosting network performance. Here's what you can do to help stop the flu. Cough or sneeze into your sleeve, not your hands. Wash your hands often with soap and water or alcohol-based hand sanitizers. You should avoid touching your eyes, nose, or mouth. Germs spread that way. Stay home if you're sick and get a seasonal flu shot. For more on flu prevention and seasonal flu shot locations offered by Adventist Healthcare, go to HelpStopTheFlu.com. That's HelpStopTheFlu.com.
In partnership with WTOP Radio, a Bonneville station, together making a difference in Washington.
There's a new tool to save truck inspectors time, and more importantly, to keep trucks' brakes in good condition as they drive with you on the highways. Braking, of course, creates friction and heat, so a new system is focusing heat-sensing cameras around trucks' wheels as they slow to enter an inspection station.
That allows us to get a nice temperature snapshot of the vehicle's brakes at that time.
Gary Capps, an Oak Ridge National Laboratory researcher, says extremely hot, cold, or unbalanced heat levels can signal problems, so the images are immediately run through a computer program that assesses brakes and more.
It makes a decision whether or not that vehicle is likely to have defective brakes, a low tire, or perhaps a failing wheel bearing.
Inspectors can then decide whether to take a closer look. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
How can government executives drive performance in a cutback climate? What are the latest best practices for tackling today's human capital challenges? Join OPM Director John Berry and hundreds of federal managers to learn how to achieve more with less at Excellence in Government, July 11th. Register today for early bird rates. www.excelgov.com. www.excelgov.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Paul Rouse, World at Work, in studio with me. And I mentioned some notes that you sent over. Can I post these on federalnewsradio.com so
Please
that you
do.
Can? Okay, cool. We'll put those up so that folks can take a look at them later this afternoon, because you've collected a whole lot of interesting things together in one place that's really easy to digest. One of the things here that you wrote about and mentioned to me is the HR gap, the Closing the Gap report from the Chief Human Capital Officers Council. Talk about some of the concepts that were included in there that really kind of hit you over the head from the sound of the way you wrote about them.
Well, I think, you know, this is a longitudinal study first. So one thing that's important is this recent Closing the Gap report is really a revisiting of a survey that's taken place over a couple of years. And certain things have changed and then certain things haven't. But I think what really came to light in this last report was the CHCOs believing, the Chief Human Capital Officers, actually coming out and saying that, well, if I quote it exactly, 60% of the CHCOs believe that their HR staffs either do not have the competencies needed to succeed in the future or possess those capabilities only to a moderate or limited extent. Wow. 60% lack the required competencies. Now, this is the CHCO saying this. How does that feel if you're in the field of HR?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, would we, for example, accept 4 out of 10 air traffic controllers being competent?
I'm not comfortable with that idea, no.
Would we accept 4 out of 10 National Security Agency signal intelligence officers being competent in this day of terrorism?
No, I'm not in favor of that either.
So would
I
we,
see exactly where you're headed
so
here.
So we tolerate 4 out of 10 HR people being competent in attracting, motivating, and retaining that very talent that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's mission number one, to get the right people in the right jobs at the right time with the right pay and the right rewards, I would say that that may be mission number one.
Is this a capability issue or is this an attention issue? Is this something that inherently is difficult for the agencies to do, or is it just something that not enough people pay enough attention to getting these right people in these right jobs?
I think it is a focus issue. I know that Director Berry had a very noble plan at the very beginning. His 2010-2015 strategic plan actually talks about these systemic issues. It's one thing to talk about it, and it's another thing to do the very, very hard work of overcoming the inertia and sustaining the level of engagement around these issues that it takes. And it's not a 4-year journey. This is a long systemic journey that needs to be undertaken. And where you see it, for example, in the private sector, it takes years in the private sector to do, but the reward and the payoff is for companies that are out there that are Fortune 50 companies is they all have this same common thread. Is they those that have unlocked this and have developed HR and HR is practiced well and is hitting these right targets, those are the companies that seem to be great places to work, best places to work with high returns to their shareholders.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they don't have the issues that you and I have talked about before with trying to keep the good people once they're already in. That's the next place that I was going to go in our previous thread, was the idea that the Chief Human Capital Officers are trying to nail onboarding and trying to nail retention so that they can they don't have as great a focus on the hiring process because they're not having to think about what you were talking about, which is bringing people in from the outside totally from scratch and having them step on the feet of the people that are already in the organization. That concept, do you see that starting to get more traction?
I do. For example, one of the things that's very noteworthy is that the federal government, through OPM's leadership, is starting to cobble together, for example, in our profession, something called HR University. And the first step is in that process is how do we take the existing training that we already are doing within the federal government and make it visible and bless it and do it in a way in which we're not scattered in focus and lack focus, because lacking focus and energy is a waste of HR time. The next step in the process is looking at, well, what do we need to train where we don't have those resources and go out to the external market where there are best practices and bring those in. So OPM is going to provide leadership around saying, we're going to get you the education that you need if we don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally work towards a model of competency, which goes to address this real issue that the Chico said, which is 6 out of 10 of our folks, we're not sure are competent. So this is a process that they're going through, and it's encouraging to see. And an association like World at Work and other HR associations have got to be gratified to see that there's a focus around this now.
You and I have talked in the past quite a bit about training and development of talent and employees. One of the things that I'm starting to hear in government is a fear from the rank and file managers who have come up through the ranks, who became managers because they were technically skilled at whatever the mission is where they're working. And now they're finding, well, I don't do that anymore because I'm managing people all the time. And I don't know how to do that. I've never done it before. The fear is that with the budget situation that we're in, that training where they learn how to be managers and how to oversee getting done what they used to actually do every day will go away. And they'll be left to kind of figure it out for themselves while still being held responsible for fulfilling the agency. They're still going to get an annual review every year, mm-hmm. and they're still going to have to meet performance benchmarks for not only for themselves now, but for all of these people that they are responsible for leading. What do you say to that person who is sitting there and not sure if he or she is going to continue to have those resources around him or herself, while at the same time the expectations, if anything, are going up?
Well, the success of any great HR program and strategy is when HR can provide line managers the tools and resources and the reward model in which ultimately they go out and execute the mission. So HR never gets credit for really doing that hard work. That credit belongs and always should be accountable and rewarded at the manager level. So you can't sit there and just focus on HR. As a matter of fact, that's not a formula for success. You've got to do both. It's not an either or. And in my opinion, it's not negotiable.
Mm-hmm. Paul Rowson of World at Work is the voice that you're hearing all hour long on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose, and we'll continue our conversation about how to keep your people engaged and keep them on the right track career-wise and morale-wise when In Depth with Francis Rose continues.
NBC News Radio, I'm Marlis Majerus.
I am optimistic about our future.
President Obama's talking jobs in North Carolina, trying to shore up political support in a critical battleground state and ease fears about the slowing economy.
We've got to make sure all our companies have a steady stream of skilled workers to draw from.
At a plant that manufactures LED lighting, the president announced a new program to train 10,000 new American engineers every year. The National Weather Service has posted a flash flood warning for Hamburg, Iowa, after a levee on the Missouri River failed. Water's pouring through a 30-foot-wide hole, expected to reach the interstate and town of about 1,000 people tomorrow. And chemotherapy is now available in a pill, but those on Medicare may not be able to afford it. A new study finds 46% of Medicare recipients face a copay of more than $500 a month for cutting-edge medicines. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Marlis Majerus, NBC News Radio.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Can you find anything on the Internet? Well, I'm sure you can, but don't take my word for it. Just ask this talking dog, who can only say, I love you. Roll the clip. One more time, talking dog.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Father's Day is not for celebrating dads. It's for celebrating all our dads are. And now Hallmark's made celebrating dad even easier with new postage paid cards. Just pick the perfect card, then sign, seal, and send. No stamp required. So give it up for the big guy this Father's Day with new postage paid cards, only from Hallmark and available wherever Hallmark is sold.
Postage paid available for select cards, U.S. only.
Stress. Sometimes a little of it can be a good thing. It can motivate and inspire us. But most of the time, stress is not our friend. Work stress can cause depression, headaches, sleep problems. It can increase your risk of disease and on-the-job injury. At Kaiser Permanente, we believe that stress is serious business. Because when employees are stressed, everyone suffers. So we promote programs that help employees deal with the demands of work and home in healthy ways. Like stress breaks, workplace yoga, stress relief classes, and more. It's a total health approach. That's what Kaiser Permanente does for employers that choose us. Provides tools for companies to keep employees healthy, less stressed, and more productive. Find out how a Kaiser Permanente plan can help your employees and your business thrive. Go to kp.org/thrive9to5.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive.
Phil Reitinger, Deputy Undersecretary of DHS's National Protection and Programs Directorate. You envision Einstein relieving CIOs of a lot of the daily operational things they have to do?
Absolutely not. There's going to be no removal of operational responsibilities from agencies. In fact, we want to go in the exact opposite direction. We want to enable the key players in the private sector and in agencies to be more effective.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You and I have touched briefly on the air and a little bit more off the air today, Paul Rousen of World at Work, about one of the issues that I wanted to cover in a little bit at a little deeper level. And that is the continuing coverage, and we're just as guilty as everybody else in the federal space, of the retirement wave that never seems to come. And I wonder if there's not starting to be some element of boy that cried wolf, that at some point we will say retirement wave enough times that people won't hear it anymore. And at some point in time, it is bound to happen because the numbers are the way the numbers are. And God bless them, I'm not wishing it on anybody. But at some point in time, some of these folks will no longer be able to continue to work, if you know what I mean. And so it's going to be something that has to be dealt with potentially at a time where people have already written it off and moved on to the next whatever crisis is next on the list. Do you share that fear that some people have and that I've started to observe a little bit? Is that reasonable, do you think?
I think it is. You know, I'm at the stage of my career where I, too, am seeing, you know, what the end might look like. My wife is nearing retirement age. And, you know, how happy can we be if people have been committed public servants and have made sacrifices and now all of a sudden have the goal line moved on them?
Mm-hmm.
How happy we could be are we that people can't afford to retire? You know, my real question is really not a matter of if it will happen and when it will happen and who will be affected. My real question is how are people affected? And how is this resetting the lives of federal workers who were counting on maybe being more focused on their kids, enjoying a retirement age that they've worked hard for, and knowing that they can't afford to retire? And at the same time, they can't afford to let down because they made a commitment to the country.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, every day they're not bringing their very best enthusiasm to work because they're torn.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can be satisfied that we haven't seen this tsunami wave, and we can be smug and say, see, it hasn't happened and it's okay. It isn't okay. In my opinion, it's not okay. It's not good enough. We need to do better.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to help people maybe with some soft landings towards retirement, not penalize people for keeping their talent in play and make it unattractive for them to still be providing services to our country. We get to be, this is, once again, HR needs to get creative, and we need to lead so that we can put those policies and practices in place and where best practices are really driving the policy mechanisms that we have, and we need to put people first.
I don't like to do a lot of bashing on this show, but it seems like the HR folks that we're talking about are in a catch-22 when it comes to Congress. Congress is saying the government pays federal employees too much. Their benefits are too good compared to the private sector. So we're going to cut both of those, and we're going to go along with the president's pay freeze. And you have the bill tracker here printed out at from federalnewsradio.com. All the legislation that affects pay and benefits is posted on that bill tracker on our homepage. You can see, I mean, it's four or five pages that you've printed out there of potential legislation. And I think it's fair to say that a vast majority of it impacts federal employees negatively and not positively. It involves give backs and not give twos, I guess, would be the opposite of that. But the other end of the spectrum is if you don't meet your mission as an agency, if you don't have enough people to get the job done, that's not good enough. That's not acceptable. That we don't want to hear excuses is the message that's sent when an agency says we didn't get it done because we don't have enough people to actually perform the work.
Mm-hmm.
The response normally is, we don't want to hear an excuse, you go figure it out. And that's where the agencies find themselves, it seems to me, at least looking from the outside in. As you're thinking about your colleagues in HR, in government, that are in that role, how do they figure it out? How do you navigate through all of this stuff and think about ways that you can, I mean, it almost seems like gaming the system a little bit to be able to keep your people engaged and keep them enthusiastic and keep morale up.
Well, I think, you know, once again, the world is putting pressure on rewards in all sectors. It's the global influences right now that are affecting things such as offshore labor, the global economy. But this is a time for, once again, it goes back to my point. This is a time where maybe the main priority is to drain the swamp and let's build the HR competency level. And I'm saying not just this in the public sector. I'm in the private sector as well. This is really where we are really in need of the very best and brightest talent to seek careers in HR and to get this model right. It's not a matter of your job location anymore. It's not a matter of bricks and mortar. It's not even a matter of brand. We've seen private sector brands emerge in a matter of months and usurp other performers. So really, you know, you can't really be resting on policy. You have to – best practice should inform policy, not vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an opportunity for HR to lead, but it's got to step out and invest in itself and get better at what it's doing and make it – by design versus by accident.
You referenced Director Barry's strategic plan earlier in the program, and I want to talk about that a little bit, what you're seeing and how you're seeing that executed when we come back. Paul Rousen of World at Work is my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll wrap up our conversation in just a moment.
For over 40 years, Mantech employees have been solving complex problems for the national security community. Whether they're providing secure satellite communications to the Department of Defense or investigating threats in cyberspace for intelligence agencies, their work is distinguished by high ethical standards and a deep commitment to their customers' success. They've created a culture that encourages individuals to bring innovative ideas and technology to those charged with protecting the homeland. Due to the high demand for Mantech skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals, security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. In 2010, Mantech was selected for Fortune Magazine's 100 Fastest Growing Companies list, named a top 10 best employer for veterans by Military Times Edge Magazine, and for the fourth year in a row, was selected as a top 10 military-friendly employer by GI Jobs Magazine. Apply for openings today at mantech.com/careers. That's mantech.com/careers. Mantech is an equal opportunity employer.
Do you know us? We employ more than 70,000 people in more than 800 locations throughout the United States. Through our network of suppliers, we indirectly enable tens of thousands of American jobs. Tens of thousands. Jobs that put food on the table. Jobs that put kids through college. Jobs that keep our economy going. And yet, many of you don't even know who we are. Our name is United Technologies. We are Carrier, Hamilton Sunstrand, Otis, Pratt & Whitney, Sikorsky, and UTC Fire and Security. Six businesses united as one powerful company. We may be the biggest unknown company in America, but our jobs power the economy, and our technologies, products, and services power the world. United Technologies. Get to know more about us at UTC.com.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. This week, my special guest is Dr. Alan Dappin, founder of DocTalker.com, a unique healthcare delivery model. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Mobile technology is revolutionizing government. Learn what strategies are being adopted to help citizens and federal agencies access information on the go at AFSEA Bethesda's Executive Breakfast, June 23rd, at the Bethesda North Marriott. Hear from Gwen Costin of the GSA, Lieutenant Colonel Anmi Torres of DISA, and other federal leaders as they discuss application development, cultural hurdles, and the security implications of the ongoing mobile revolution. To register, visit AFSEABethesda.org.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Paul Rousen is my guest from World at Work. And we're talking about some of the ways that you can meet and beat, hopefully, some of the HR challenges that you're dealing with because of a variety of different things, budget and Congress and on and on. You referenced Director Barry's 2010-2015 strategic plan earlier in the program, Paul. And I want to just, as we close out here today, I want to get your thoughts about where you see that plan going now that we're not quite a year into it, but just about out of that five-year plan.
Well, first of all, I thought it was a great plan. And what I liked about it was that it set a very lofty goal. It said the federal government will be the model workforce, and OBM and OPM, Office of Personnel Management, will be the federal government's model agency. And under that, some of the sub-bullets were promoting effective and efficient human resource programs and practices across the government through reform, interaction with stakeholders, and other forums. So it basically said, We're gonna try to do new things. We're gonna reform some processes. It went after hiring reform, and it made some great headway.
Mm-hmm.
Good tangible results there. The next thing it said, it was gonna hold agencies accountable for providing training opportunities for their employees. Training is a luxury. The first things that get cut in any organization when money's short is anything that begins with TR, training and travel.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about mission-critical skills here, and we've already learned that these mission-critical skills are missing in the minds of the Chicos. So we see some real things with HR University and other tangible signs saying, look, we're going to get focused around this, and OPM's provided great leadership there. And that goes to providing agencies with tools, resources, guidance, and education and evaluation to improve human resources operations. So we know operationally we've got to get better. And then leading by example. OPM says we're going to lead by example by becoming the change we want to see happen in the federal government. So, in a wrap, one of the things is these were noble goals at the outset. I have seen real tangible signs of incremental steps towards this. I just say stay the course and put your shoulder to the flywheel. Every great organization that has invested in this direction has seen them change the way their workforce thinks about where they work and how they view their job and perform in their job.